I want to be able to share a few things that have been really strong and pressing in my spirit to cap up this series of lessons and teachings that we have been doing on Wednesdays that we titled God Guarantees Your Victory. God Guarantees Your Victory. Amen. And the subtopic that we've learned for a couple of weeks is knowing who you are of. Know who you are of. Know who you belong to. And tonight I'm just going to spend a little bit of time to talk about one of the most crucial requirements for victory in life, which I call the will and the determination to win. The will and the determination to win. Of course, you remember that our theme scripture is in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So you are of God. It's important that you remember that all the time. You are of God. You are not of the world. You are of God. You belong to God. You are from God, and God is inside you. It says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And because God is always victorious and you belong to God, you'll win. Amen. Amen. No matter what challenges or difficulties you experience that we encounter in life, victory is guaranteed. I know that last week we closed out with the story of Apostle Paul, the shipwreck that he suffered and the viper that came to try to affix itself on him, and he just shook that thing off into the fire. I remember one of the things that I told you at the very beginning, our very first lesson, our first study, was victory in life does not begin with fasting and praying or church attendance or stuff like that, even though things like that are great, they're helpful. But victory in life really begins from digging into the Word of God with a dogged determination to discover and realize who you are in Christ Jesus. And that's essentially what we have talked about a lot over the last 3 weeks. We are born of God. We have his DNA. And even though we have our biological parents and we received natural things and their genes and all of that from our biological parents, when we are born again, we are born by the sperm of God. We're born afresh. We're born anew by God's divine sperm. And that means we take on the nature of God. We take on the DNA of God. Because God can't fail, then you can't fail. God can't lose, then you can't lose. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because the Lord himself has guaranteed that. And we talked about Jesus being our ultimate example. He's the splitting image of God. And over time, you and I continue to go through this process of becoming more and more godlike. And as we do, more and more of our victory unfolds in different areas of our lives. Victory is ongoing. It's unfolding. And we may not see victory right now in some of the things that we're dealing with. And sometimes you may actually even feel, the devil may whisper into your ears and suggest to you, "Oh, you're a failure." But you know he's a liar. You are, the Bible says, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. Now, last week, from the story of Apostle Paul, I did share with you something that the Lord burned very strongly in my heart. I'm usually very careful to use this expression, "the Lord told me," because, you know, everywhere you go, everybody keeps saying, "the Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord told me." One of the most popular phrases now in amongst believers, the Lord is always telling people stuff, and many times sometimes he's telling people stuff is like what he's telling this one is opposite to what he's telling that one, and sometimes you have to wonder, somebody's confused here, and I know it's not God. God is never confused. So I'm usually very careful how I use that expression, you know, "the Lord told me," but sometimes it's actually a deep impression that we receive from the Holy Spirit in a line where the Lord has been dealing with us over something, something directly from his word or something that the Holy Spirit burns into our spirit. We just have this crystal clear a picture, crystal clear revelation, and that revelation sometimes becomes forced out into words. They become crystallized into words, and those are some of the things that we share. And actually, that's how a lot of the prophetic instructions in the Bible, prophetic revelations, were recorded. There were things that people received who were indwelled by the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit took over, and through that experience, words were crystallized, which became recorded. But this is very, very important, because from the very beginning of this lesson, the Lord had put this so strong in my spirit from the very first part of this study, the very first Wednesday we came together. I wanted to share that, but of course I needed to walk my way all the way to where we were last week. So then you had a basis, you had a platform and a foundation to be able to receive that. But let me say to you again, he impressed upon me to tell you that there are various things that are of the world that have the capacity to harm, to kill, and to destroy ordinary, regular people. But because you are of God, you belong to God, and you are no ordinary person, and you know it, you will shake those same things into the fire, and you will feel no harm or damage. Amen? So the Lord will give you the victory. He guarantees that regardless of what shipwreck, what viper, he guarantees that you are going to come out unscathed. Like Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den, he came out and there was no evidence that he ever went through there. Like the three Hebrew boys who went into the fire, there was no evidence on them. They didn't even smell smoke. They didn't smell like smoke. The Lord shielded them through it. And that same smoke, just the intensity of the heat, killed the people who threw them in there. Amen. So the Lord says that because you are of God and you are no ordinary person, and you know it, you will shake those same things that would destroy or hurt regular people, ordinary people. You shake those things into the fire, and you will feel no harm or damage. Your victory is guaranteed because you are of God. All right, let's get into some very powerful aspects of our teaching tonight. This is where we are going to close out for this part of our teaching. One of the most powerful, right after we establish that you need to know who you are of, right after we establish you need to know who you are, whose nature you bear, one of the most important, most crucial requirements for victory in life is you have to want to. You have to want to. You have to have a will and a determination to win. Same thing goes for success. For people who want to succeed, no matter what failures they encounter, no matter the difficulties and obstacles they encounter, one of the first requirements for success in life is you have to have a will and a determination to succeed. So that same thing applies to enjoying the victory that the Lord has prepared for us. We have to have the want to. We have to have the will and the determination to win. Amen. Like I said to you last week, I'm not just talking about the will to fight, because a lot of believers, we talk so much about we have the will to fight. We talk about many times, oh, we're going through. But like I told you last week, we're not just going through something. We're going to something. We're not just going through difficulties and going through challenges and going through opposition, obstacles, and things that the enemy puts and throws out against us. No, no, no. We're going to victory. And you remember from Romans chapter 8, verse 37 that we read, one of those translations we read last week, said that we are going to super conqueror status. I like that. We're going to super conqueror status. So we're not just going through something, we're going to something. And what we're going to is victory. Now, I want to read a couple of scriptures. I want to begin from one of the passages in the Old Testament. You don't find the word victory a whole lot. It's there a few times in a few places. But one of the chapters of the Bible where you find the word victory in the Old Testament repeated quite a few times is the one I want you to read with me tonight. And I want to just point out a few things to you about the will and the determination to win and how that informs the victory, how that determines the victory that you and I are able to enjoy in our lives. Sometimes you think, well, if God wants me to win, I'll win. If God gives me the victory, I'll have it. But if God doesn't give it to me, if God changes his mind or he thinks otherwise about my situation, then I won't have it. Oh, no, then you've already lost. You might as well just pack your bags and go back home because you've already lost. The first requirement for victory, for enjoying guaranteed victory in life, it's not, well, maybe not, if God. No. It's the will. That is not God's will, but your will. Your will and your determination to win the victory. I'm winning this fight. I didn't just show up. I didn't just come to, you know, prove a point. I didn't come just to be a part of something. I didn't come to be one of those, you know, like, oh yeah, he's one of those. No. I came to win the victory. Glory to God. I love one of the expressions Dr. Bill Winston used to use several years ago. I don't know if he still uses it, but he used to say back then, he says, we didn't come to take sides. We came to take over. I love that. We didn't come to take sides. We came to take over. So we are not here just to, you know, many people say, I'm in the fight. No. We're not just here to be in the fight. We're here to win. So first requirement, one of the most important things about enjoying victory in life, you have to have the will. You have to have the will. Listen, when you have the will and you step out and you stand your ground and you fight, the Lord will rock the victory. The victory is of the Lord. That is the Lord who fights the battles. Now, yeah, we show up and we take our place, but it is really the Lord who wins the victory. He's the one who wins the battles. The Bible says the horse may be prepared for the day of battle, but safety, really, victory, really, is of the Lord. We can't guarantee our own victory. The one thing we must do, though, is we must have a will to win. So that, know that I'm not here just to make a point that I showed up. I was one of them that fought. I was one of them that were a part of the... No. I'm here to win, and win I must. Hallelujah. All right. So go with me now to 2 Samuel in chapter 23. Forgive me if I sound very excited. I really am. this particular scripture, I have been... And actually, I'll tell you one or two other things about one other scripture I might read tonight. I hope I get to it because I'm gonna dismiss you on time. But I'm super excited about it because all of these things are things that, you know, personally I can study. I, you know, receive for myself and receive for our ministry and receive for our family and receive for those that we are connected with, our brothers and sisters, people that are connected with us in the spirit. These are things that have become a clear-cut revelation for me. And I call it revelation not because I saw something in the sky. No, that is this clear in my spirit. I know it. The light of God shone in my heart in this regard. And I know that 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 you will win. If you would just play your part, if you would do what the Lord says for you to do, if you stand there, if you take your place and not quit on God, I guarantee you, child of God, you will win. Yeah. So forgive me if I sound too excited, like maybe, you know, you're like, why is he so happy? I truly am really happy and excited in my spirit, though. That is bubbling over out of my spirit. And so that's, you know, so forgive me if I sound too happy and too excited, but, you know, just receive that spirit, because the spirit of joy is the spirit of victory, is the spirit of faith. Amen. Now, I want you to read with me. This is the scripture I was telling you about, 2 Samuel chapter 23. It's one of the scriptures where victory shows up a lot in the Old Testament. There are not many of them like that. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, and I'm going to read from, I believe this is verse 8. There are some very strange names. So if you have your Bible open there so you can see it, if you have the Amplified, it makes it very easy to follow. A few strange names here. It says, these are the names of the mighty men who David had. And the first strange name, Josheb-Bashibeth, a Tachmonite. Let's not dwell on that. Chief of the three heroes. Those are big names. Don't dwell too much on that. Known also as Adino the Eznite. Adino the Eznite. Look at what this guy did. So this is one of the top assistants of David. This guy's, man, I'm telling you, these guys who ran with King David were no sissies. Don't you mess with them. These guys who, you know, David himself at age 17 was a giant killer. This is the guy who brought down Goliath. I mean, when everybody was hiding out and everybody was screaming when Goliath showed up, David was the guy that brought Goliath to his knees and took his head off. So this guy, David, was the head of the tribe of the giant killer. But the guys around him, his assistants, man, the people who stood around him, don't joke with them. They were no mean people at all. Men and women, they were warriors. They were a whole tribe of giant killers. Hallelujah. And I love that the Bible tells us what they did. It didn't just tell us what David did. David was there. He was their head. He was their leader. But he showed you what his followers did. And this is the first one the Bible is telling us about. His name is Adino the Eznite. He says this guy wielded his spear. He wielded his spear and went against 800 men. Say that with me wherever you are. 800 men. Say it one more time. 800 men. Not eight. Not eight. Not 0.8 of a man. 800 men. One man took on 800 men. And the Bible says, I got to run here because I have too much to cover. I don't have next week to come back to this. Okay. He wielded his spear and went against 800 men. Watch this. Who were slain at one time. How does that happen? Think about it. How does one man wielding a spear kill 800 people in one fight? I mean, you watch all these movies, you know, like some of these, you know, big name actor movies, you know, we know, but I don't recollect too many single actors that kill 800 warriors. I don't remember too many of them. This guy, an assistant to David, killed 800 men of their enemies one time. I want you to imagine in your spirit, you, this man, you, this woman, fighting against a handful of enemies, whoever they are, however tough they seem, however bad they seem, real bad or whatever. I want you to picture yourself winning every battle. I want you to see yourself in your heart winning the victory, not just showing up. This guy didn't just show up like, you know, oh, well, you know, they say there are 800 people we're going to fight today. I'm just going to show up and wield my spear. And, you know, whenever they kill me, I guess it's over then. No. This guy showed up with a will and a determination to win. Glory to God. And because he did, the Lord gave him the victory. Look at the next verse. It says, next to him, among these three mighty men, was this guy called Eliezer, the son of Dodo, son of Ahohi. He was with David when they defied the Philistines, assembled there for battle, and the men of Israel had departed. So their support warriors had left. But this guy joined David, and two of them confronted the army of the Philistines and defeated them. You talk about a will to win. Look at this. He says in verse 10, Eleazar arose and struck down the Philistine until his hand was weary and clung to his sword. What's that now?
Locked.
He sat down. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
He wielded his spear. He wielded his weaponry and went against all of these soldiers. And the Bible tells us he fought until his hand became weary. Now, I hope I still have you there. I hope we're still online. If you're there,
we're still here.
Somebody just
yes.
speak. You can
Amen.
Still hear me. Thank you. All right. This guy, he didn't just show up to fight. He didn't just show up like, oh, let's go. No. Look at this. The Bible says he fought until his hands became weary. If he showed up just to fight, when his hands became weary, he would have gone home. He said, well, I'm tired. God understands. Oh, no. But this guy showed up not just to fight, but to win. And I love it. I love the way this verse of scripture ends. Look at what it says. He says his hand was weary and clung to his sword. He says, but the Lord, watch this now, the Lord wrought a great deliverance and victory that day, and the men returned after him only to take the spoil. So notice, he got tired, his hand clung, held onto his weaponry, but he wouldn't quit because he didn't just show up to fight, he showed up to win. And the Bible says, because God saw him standing there, even though he was tired, even though he was weary, even though he was exhausted from the fight and from the war and the battle, he stayed there. And because the Lord saw him standing there, watch this, the Bible says, the Lord himself wrought a great deliverance and victory that day. What does that tell us? That tells us, if we will stand there with the will to win, if we will stand there with the will and the determination to win, if we will stand there with the will and the commitment to win, not just to fight, but to win, that if we will stand there, the Lord himself will show up, he'll fight our battles, and he'll give us the victory. Hallelujah. The Lord himself will show up. The Lord himself. You don't have to worry about, oh, how are we going to win this fight? Man, there's too many people. I mean, you beat one, another one comes out of, you know, the woodworks. It's like they just keep coming. They just keep coming. You think you beat this one down. Before you raise your head up, five more have come. You beat those five. Before you raise up, another 50 have shown up. Well, you don't have to worry yourself about how are we going to win this. No. The victory, that is God. Your own path is the will to win. Show up and stand there. Now, he tells us about one more guy. Look further down. He says, next to Eleazar was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered at Lehi on a piece of ground full of lentils. I really like this guy, actually. This guy just charges me. He just kind of fills me with a lot of... Look at this. He says, there was a ground full of beans. Just a small patch of land. Well, piece of land full of beans. And most of his brothers and sisters, the Israelites, they took off. They fled from the Philistines. They said, what's that? Why am I going to lose my life over a small piece of land of beans? That's what they thought. But this guy, the Bible says in verse 12, but he stood in the midst of the ground. Yeah, he said, yeah, it's a small piece of ground of beans, of lentils. Yeah, but I'm defending this. I'm taking it. I love it. He stood in the midst of the ground and he defended it and he slew the Philistines. Watch this. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Now, what's the commonality? What is the one thing we see between all of these people? They stood their ground. They had their armory on. They had their the pieces of their armor on, and they stood their ground. Now, child of God, you know, it's not enough just to put on your armor. I know most of us know the scripture in Ephesians where we're told to put on the armor of God. We quote it all the time. But it's amazing to me how we can often put on that armor and yet not have the will to win. We can put on the armor many times and yet not realize that the reason we should have that armor on is that we're here to take the victory. You've got to say to yourself, and you've got to declare it as often as you can, I'm fighting for my children. I'm fighting for this destiny God has given to me. I'm fighting for my future. I'm fighting for my family. I'm fighting for this business God committed into my hands. I'm fighting for the survival of my loved ones, the victory of the overcoming of my loved ones. I'm fighting even for our nation. I'm fighting. We ought to show up declaring. We didn't just come. This is not a movie. It's not like rehearsal for a movie. No, this is not. No, this is the real deal. We're putting on this armor because we came to win. Through you and through me, God has to get the victory. He has to get the glory. Through you and through me, God has to demonstrate in our generation that he is the living God. Remember, you are of God. You belong to God. You are from God, and the greater one is in you. So you are here to win. And so to see the opposition and to see the battles that the enemy creates around us, and not to fall flat on our faces all the time and start crying, that's not doing justice to the weaponry that God has given to us. These pieces of the armor that God has given to us are not just for decoration. This is not like, well, you know, like a woman is putting on jewelry, you know, she put her gold necklace, put her gold, you know, she look in the mirror, I look. No. The pieces of this armor, this is not aesthetics. This is not, does this one match? Does that one match? What's the color? What's the design? You know, no. Take me a picture. No, that's not what this is. This is the real deal, my brothers and my sisters. We're here to win. And the Lord has equipped us. He's given us everything we need. Number one, he's birthed us in Christ. He's birthed us. There should be none of us who is a failure. There should be none of us who is declared. I don't care if the institution declares you a failure. If your school says you are not up to par, I don't care what they say. You should make up your mind. I'm here to take what is mine. And what is yours is distinction. What is yours is superiority. What is yours is excellence. What is yours is promotion. What is yours is success. You can go as high as God has ordained. You must never allow the world around you, the stereotypes that men build, to sink your expectation of what God can do through you. You must never allow those to determine what you are able to accomplish in your life. No. You are a world changer. You are a giant killer. You are wired for this. You were prepared for this. You can go as far and way beyond any human in the natural has ever gone. Your dreams can be fulfilled. I don't care if it takes the supernatural power of God in your mind to bring to pass those dreams that you have. Here, flash, newsflash. It's going to take the supernatural power of God to bring to pass any kind of miracle and any kind of breakthrough that any Christian is believing God for. So let that newsflash sink in your spirit. You think, oh, well, this one is just, oh, pastor, you just don't understand. This one is so big. Oh, this is so big. This is going to take God. My friend, all of us, everything we're standing for is going to take God. All of us. And guess what? He's never lost a battle. So when the Bible says in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God, it says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I like the way the Amplified puts that verse 13. It says, therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demand, to stand firmly in your place. To stand firmly in your place. That is not someone who showed up just to fight. That is someone who is going to stand there until they get the victory that they are standing there for. And I trust God that that is you. I trust God. I said, I trust God that that is you. Amen. Glory be to God. It is so important. And of course, you know, the Bible, the Word of God lists the pieces of the armor. I'm going to move right on because I don't have the time to go there and talk about each of those different pieces of the armor. But we're already close where we've been kitted out for victory. Do you know that? You are kitted out for victory. You're not just kitted out to fight. You are kitted out for victory. The Lord already, He's already provided everything you need to overcome. Glory be to God. So stand therefore until you get what you are standing there for. Stand there. Now remember, winning the victory in the battles of life requires both defense and offense. Look at all of those pieces of that armor. And you can study this out on yourself later. Because sometimes I think believers, this is one of the reasons why I say, where I said this to you at the beginning, and I said that last week as well. This is so deep, and then this is so strong. I want you to stop saying, I'm going through. It's too popular, and yet it's too flawed. It's too incomplete. No, you're not going through. Yes, you are going through, but that's not the complete story. That's just half of the story. You are going to. And I want you to change your mindset about your position in the warfares of life, in the battles of life. It's about time that as children of God, we stop looking at ourselves as the ones who are always on the defense. How come it's the devil who is always running after us? How come it's the devil who is always attacking us? How come it's the devil who is always beating us black and blue? I mean, you listen to some people's testimonies and they talk about how the devil kicked them on Monday. Oh, hallelujah. How he spat in their face on Tuesday. My. And on Wednesday, ooh, how he made me. You know, it's amazing. And by the time they talk about all of that, they go from Monday all the way to Sunday. You have to wonder, so where is God in this? It's like it's only the devil that's doing stuff. No, we've got to change our position. We've got to realize and change our mindset and realize, no, we've been kitted out to win. That means we will defend sometimes, and that means we will be on the offense some other times. There's no one who wins just by playing defense. That's why the pieces of the armor that God gave us, they're not just for defense. Sometimes we talk about it like the devil is just beating us. Oh, man, you showed up on Sunday morning in church. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Sister Lucy, Sister Shinene, you don't know what the devil did to me this week. I'm just so glad I made it into the house of the Lord. Wait a minute. So we should be doing some beating too. We should be announcing to him. Sometimes you get up in the morning and say, hey, devil, I'm up. I'm up again. You are in trouble today. when last did you hear a believer say things like that? I'm up today. Testimonies. I'm up today. Hey, I'm going to give you a hard time. You're in trouble, Satan. Get yourself ready. You are in trouble. The plan of God, the armory that God has given to us, is such that we be on the offense sometimes. Like, yeah, I'm going to take the promised land. I mean, look at the children of Israel. That's our example. They pushed their way. They didn't just suffer in Egypt and try to survive the assault in Egypt. Oh, no. They came out of Egypt and went on offense. And went right through all of those lands to get to the promised land. And that's the plan of God for you and for me. So look at all those pieces of the armor. The pieces of the armor are not just defense. Yeah, you have the belt. Yes, you have the breastplate. You have the helmet. But then you also have the shield. Well, yeah, of course, you defeat them. The Bible says, with it, you quench the fiery dart of the enemy. You stop the missile. But then he says you also have the sword of the spirit. Now the sword is what those guys, Adino, Eliezer, Shama, the sword is what they were wielding that we read in 2 Samuel chapter. They were not just lifting up their shield to protect themselves, you know, trying to hide. And no. The Bible says they wielded their sword. So there's offense and there is defense. And I want to challenge you. You get on offense against the enemy. You get proactive. Before he throws his things at you, you get up and announce to him, hey, Satan, I'm here today, more than a conqueror. I'm here today, super conqueror status. I'm here today, the one who's going to get the victory. Glory, 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 glory. Satan, I'm here to let you know that you're about to suffer your biggest defeat. I mean, believers, it's time for us to start declaring things like that and not be afraid. Not be afraid like, man, I don't want to say stuff like that. And then, you know, he focuses all of hell on me. He can't focus all of hell on you. There are too many people he needs to try to fight. And even if he focuses all of hell on you, remember that all of heaven is on your side. Man, glory be to God. So put on your armor. Put on your armor and get on offense. And go and get the victory in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus. I want you to go back to the Old Testament and read with me another very powerful piece of scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 21. What am I talking to you about tonight? This is all I plan to share with you. You have to have the will to win. You have to have the will to win. You have to have the will to win. You have to be determined. I'm not losing. I'm not going under. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving that miracle up. I'm not giving that blessing up. I'm winning. Listen, sometimes even your own fellow believers will laugh at you. Sometimes your own fellow believers, in addition to going back home and say, hey, man, you're on your own, sometimes they will even mock you. And they'll say, boy, do you know what you're doing? But you've got to be one of those ones who set their face like a flint. I like the way Isaiah put it, Isaiah 50 verse 7. He said, the Lord God will help me. Therefore, will I not be confounded. And therefore, have I set my face like a flint. And I know I will not be ashamed. I love that. Don't you? I love that. Isaiah 57. The Lord God will help me. Therefore, will I not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint. A flint is a strong stone. Like, man, don't even imagine in your silly mind that I'm about to turn around and go back home. No, I came here to win. I came here to take territory. I came here to take the land. Hallelujah. I came here to take what belongs to me. I came here to take the miracle. I came here to take the blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, you say, oh, who's ever done that? Do you know anybody who's ever done that? Well, that's why the Lord sent me. That's why the Lord created me and sent me. Maybe I'll be the first one, but I'm here to win this battle. I'm here to win this miracle. I'm here to take my children. I'm here to take my destiny. I'm here to take my victory. I'm here to take my finances. I'm here to take my breakthrough. I'm here to take everything that the Lord has given to me. I'm here to take my next level. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Now, read with me quickly. Read with me quickly. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Oh, glory be to God. Even tonight, I think the devil is going to have a hard time sleeping. Man, we're going to cause him a lot of pain tonight. Glory to God. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I want to read a few verses from verse 15. Just read, just listen to this. 15 to 22. I'm going to read from the Amplified real quickly because I got to try to say a few more things before I close tonight. All right, listen to this. It says, the Philistines had war again. Now, I want you to notice how many times the Bible says again. Because this guy just does not quit. Satan never quits. And that's why you as a child of God must never quit. It says, the Philistines had war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him, and they fought against the Philistines, and David became faint. That's like the other guy we read about who was holding his spear and he became tired. David, now listen though, David was tired, but he was not going to quit. He was tired at war, but he was not going to quit. The Bible says he became faint. And Ish-bibenob, the name sounds even ugly. It says, who was of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze, was girded with a new sword, and he wanted to kill David. That's how the enemy sometimes works. He sees where you're vulnerable and he tries to strike you. But watch this now, verse 17. It says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue, and he smote and killed the Philistine. Then David's men charged him, and they said, you shall no more go out with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. I love those guys. They protected their general. They said, you know what? All right, you fought all these battles. We need you to kind of chill now. We'll take it from there. Glory be to God. Watch this now. And then after this, there was again war with the Philistines at Gob or Gaza. Then Sibichai, the Hushathite, slew Saph or Sipiah, who was a descendant of the giants. There's so many giants. So many giants. It's like a tribe of giants who kill one, another one shows up. Look at verse 19. There was again war at Gob with the Philistines, and Elhanan, son of Jareoregim, a Bethlehemite, he slew Goliath the Gittite. This was another Goliath, not the one David killed. So after he killed the original one, another one came up. He slew Goliath the Gittite, whose spear shaft was like a weaver's beam. And there was again war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had, watch this now, this guy's ugly, 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 altogether in number. Man, you see something like this, boy, if you are not careful, fear may want to grip you. The devil may say to you, this is your day, you are finished. but look at what this giant killer did. He says he also was a descendant of the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, I love this, Jonathan, son of Shimei. This is not Jonathan, David's friend, though. This is not the son of Saul. No, this is another Jonathan. Jonathan, son of Shimei, brother of David. What did he do? He slew him. He slew the ugly-looking demonic giant with 24 fingers. He slew him. I love it. He slew him. Why? He had a will to win. He didn't let the fingers, 6 fingers on every hand. And you know, the guy may be spreading the hands and say, hey, look at this. Look at this. I got 6 on every hand. What you got? No, he didn't let that face him. He said, you got 6? All right, I'll show you. I got Jehovah. I got Jehovah. As the Bible says, he slew him. And it says, these 4 were descended from the giants in Gath, and they all fell by the hands of David and his servant. My brothers and my sisters, as I start trying to wrap this up tonight, I pray that by the help of the Holy Spirit, that you get this revelation in your spirit. I know there are giants. There's a whole tribe of giants out there that will come at us from everywhere. But let me assure you, you are a part of the tribe of giant killers. You are one of those giant killers that God sends to the earth for this season, so that through your life and through the victories that he wrought through you, he can get the glory. I want you to see yourself with that new vision. I'm a giant killer. I'm an overcomer. I have super conqueror status. Nothing phases me. I'm not going to lose. I didn't just show up to fight. I showed up to win. And until I win the victory, this fight is not over. That's exactly how you and I are supposed to think about ourselves. Yes, of course, we're in continuous conflict. Yes, the enemy would never stop. Yes, the enemy will keep coming at us from every angle. He will keep coming at us in every way. But you must never stop in your quest to win. You must never quit in the assignment that God has given to you to win the victory. And you know, I remember several years ago, I heard a minister share the story, this true life story of a young boy in a town, and there was someone who was really wealthy, the wealthiest man in that town. Everybody knew him. He was a philanthropist, he was an entrepreneur, he was an extremely successful man, and everybody talked about this guy, and this little boy just had a quest for success. This little boy just had a dream. He was desperate to be like that man. He had never met the man in person. People just talked about him. He knew. Everybody knew about this man in the town. And this little boy, out of nowhere, who's his family, nobody even knew. This boy just had a dream. He had a quest in his heart. But I want to be successful like that great, wealthy, rich entrepreneur, that man everybody talks about. I want to be successful. And so one day he decided, you know, I'm going to go look for him. So he went looking for him, and he tracked him down to a pond where the man was relaxing and fishing. He kind of walked up to him and approached him and pleaded with him. Sorry, sir. I hate to interrupt you, but I've heard so much about you, and it's always been the dream of my life just to meet you and to come around you. And I'm so happy that I'm here. I just want to ask you a question, sir. Could you please help me? I have a dream to be a success like you. Could you please share with me the secret of your success? And then the man said to him, he said, come around, sit down. So he sat down. The little boy sat down right next to him where this man was fishing in a pond. And the next thing this little boy knew, this man took him and pushed him inside the pond, put his head inside the pond. Ah! And the boy was struggling to get up. And after a while, when the man saw that he was struggling for air and he was getting a little overwhelmed, he would bring him up to the surface so that he could get some air. As soon as the guy got a little gulp of air and he was feeling good, he pushed his head right back into the pond. He did that a few times. Ah, this man, are you crazy? You want to kill me? I didn't ask you to die. I said, I want to learn about success. Finally, the guy pulled him out of the pond and said, did you say you wanted to learn about how to succeed? The boy said, yes sir. Oh, yes sir. Thankful that this man is not going to kill him today. Well, the man said, listen, he says, when you become desperate for success, the way you were desperate for your next heir when I had you in the pond, he said, you will succeed. Listen to that. When you become desperate for your next breath of air, like you became desperate for this next breath of air. When you are desperate for success in that same way, he said, you will succeed. You will succeed. What is the first key to victory in life? The will and the determination to win. When you are desperate for victory, when you are desperate for success, my friend, you cannot lose. You cannot fail. I got two more scriptures to read, if you can hang with me. I got one right here in Deuteronomy chapter 2. This one is Deuteronomy chapter 2 right here. This is one scripture the Lord spoke to me about, or the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart, really blessed me from that scripture precisely about 20 years ago. And I've been writing a sermon out of this particular scripture for 20 years. I haven't finished writing the sermon. So, of course, I've never preached this message. I've never preached this sermon. This sermon I titled Not One City. I first started to write the initial part of this sermon 20 years ago. Not One City. That's the title of the sermon. And I haven't preached it yet, because like every year I keep adding something to this sermon. I trust God that one of these days I'll be able to preach it. But I want you to read with me from Deuteronomy chapter 2. I'm going to read just a few verses. I got one more to read before I close tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 2, and I want to read from verse 31 to verse 36. Deuteronomy chapter 2 from verse 31. Listen to what it says. It says, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. See, God said he gave him the land, but then they came out against him to fight. Verse 33, and the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at the time and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities we took. Look at verse 36. This is where I'm going, really. It says, from Aroer, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead. Watch this now. It says, listen to this. There was not one city that was too strong for us. I love that. There was not one city that was too strong for us. the Lord our God delivered all unto us. Notice what he said. I don't have too much time to preach on this, and I told you I'm still writing this sermon, so I'm not going to preach it to you tonight. He says, the cities were strong. He said, but there was not one city, not one city that was too strong for us. That's pretty much like you saying, oh man, there were so many attacks. Oh man, so many obstacles, so many difficulties, so many challenges, so many troubles. But not one of them was too strong for us. We beat them all. We overcame them all. We have the victory over them all. And we came out the victorious ones. We came out the more than conquerors. Hallelujah. That's like you saying, looking back at all of the giants, like we saw in David and David's men, looking back at all of those crazy, silly-looking giants, and saying, glory to God, they were strong, but not one of them was too strong for us. Yeah, we had to deal with problems. Yeah, man, we had to deal with some really big, big challenges, big difficulties. But you know what? Glory to God, not one of them. Not one of them. Not one of them. We didn't die fighting. We won the victory. Glory to God. We didn't quit and go home because we were tired. No. We won the victory. Why? Because the greater one lives inside of us. The greater one lives inside of us. I have one more scripture to read. Bear with me. Go with me right here to Genesis chapter 32. This particular one is on one of our devotionals and, of course, in our book, Days of Heaven on Earth, somewhere there under the teaching of prayer. But I just want you to know this story. This is a very common story. I want to close out here. I want to close out here with this story. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you here. Genesis chapter 32, just as I close this out. Glory to God. Somebody say with me, I'm more than a conqueror. Say with me, I belong to the tribe of the giant killers.
I belong to the tribe of the giant killers.
Amen. I didn't show up just to fight. I showed up to win the victory. And win the victory, I must. Amen. All right. I want to read this, my last scripture. Hang with me. Genesis chapter 32. And I'm going to read from verse 24. You know this story. You know it real well. And I won't take too long here. Just a couple of minutes, and then I'll close this out, and we're going to thank God together for this awesome four Wednesdays that the Lord has blessed us and his word that he has put in our hearts. All right. Let's read this from verse 24, and I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And you know what? I'm going to go there and read because I don't have too much time. I'm going to read from the King James, and then I might just read one particular verse out of the Amplified. Yeah, because the Amplified is too long. Then all right, it says that when And so Jacob was left alone. There wrestled with him a man until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow. That is the man that was the angel of God, really, was fighting against Jacob. When he saw that he couldn't beat Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he created a disadvantage for him, for Jacob. Yet Jacob wouldn't quit. Yet Jacob wouldn't stop wrestling with him. Listen to this now. And he said, let me go. That's the angel representing God himself. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, no, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I like the way the Amplified puts that. I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. I love that. I'm not going to let you go. I didn't come here just to be able to report that I saw an angel and I touched an angel. No. I came here to get the blessing of the Lord. And he said unto him, what is your name? Mm-hmm. So the angel asked Jacob, he said, what is your name? And Jacob said, I'm going to read that out of the Amplified. He said, what is your name? He said, what is your name? And in shock of realization, whispering, Jacob said unto him, my name is a supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. That's the meaning of Jacob. And the angel said unto him, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. Boy, I don't have time. But I love the way some of those translations, I love the way they translate that, especially the ISV. International Standard Version. He says this. Now let me read the King James, the Amplified to you first. He says, no, your name shall no longer be called Jacob or supplanter, but Israel, or contender with God, for you have contended and you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Notice now, God changed his name from Jacob, which means deceiver, supplanter, trickster, swindler, thief. He changed his name to Israel. The word Israel in the Hebrew is from the original Yisrael. That word Israel means one who rules like a god, one who prevails, one who has power. To have power to contend with, to persist, to exert oneself, to persevere, to be mighty, to be a hero, to be a godlike one, to have strength, to have power, and to prevail. That's what Israel means. God changed this man's name from deceiver, flaky, one who can't stand, one who can't fight. He changed his name to a mighty warrior, a conqueror. Hallelujah. Why? Why? He said, because you contended with God. Because you wouldn't let him go. You wouldn't let him go. Even after he said that, Jacob, while the angel was still preaching to him, Jacob said, by the way, what is your own name? while we are at it, what is your own name? Because I didn't check your own name. See, Jacob had the will and the determination to win. Now, let me ask you this as I close. If a deceiver, a schemer, a supplanter, a contender, a trickster, who contend with God and win because he wouldn't let God go, how much more you, child of God? Notice, this supplanter, deceiver named Jacob had no grounds to have been blessed like this. There are no grounds to have been blessed like this for God to turn around and say, no, your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name from now on is Israel, one who prevails with God. Why? Because he had the will and determination to win. He wouldn't let God go. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. How about you, child of God? You are already a child of God. You are already cut out of the block. You are one of his. You are not just one of those in the world. The greater one lives inside of you. How about you? I encourage you. You take the victory that belongs to you. You go through life and go through 2019, no matter what shows up. I don't care what giant shows up from where. I don't care what they look like. Maybe they look ugly and really scary, like they have 6 fingers on their hand and 6 toes, 24 altogether, or even 48. I don't care what they look like. You go on and you take the fight to them and you refuse to quit. Don't go under your bed crying and wonder, why me, why me? You get up, you put on your armor, you take on your shield of faith, you put on your helmet of salvation, put on your breastplate of righteousness, you wield the sword of the Spirit, and you go out there and say, devil, I'm your worst nightmare. I'm winning the victory today. And you know what? Just like Jacob, you will win. And not one city will be too strong for you. You will take everything that God ordained and planned for you. You win the victory in your natural life. You win the victory in your spirit life. You win the victory in your career. You win the victory on the job. You win the victory in your ministry. You win the victory in your business. You win the victory in your relationships and in your family. You win the victory in your finances. You win the victory. You will advance and you go as far as God has ordained you to go. Even though nobody that you know out of your family has ever done those things, God will take you as far as you determine to go because you have the will to win. I call you blessed tonight, and I celebrate over you. And I trust God that at the end of 2009, all of us will be celebrating together the many victories that the Lord has given us this year. Do you believe that? Give the Lord a praise.